Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and a fine good morning to another hour of discernment on March 12th, 2019. The hour of discernment this morning is going to be on John 17 and John 18. And this morning I'd like to play Psalm 24. You know, when you come before the Lord, sometimes it gives you a little, sometimes I get a little speechless when I wake up in the morning and start thinking of the blessings that I have, you know, and so my prayer today is that we have not a contentious spirit and no dissension, and the fact that it's such a blessing that we've been able to come in before God this morning and our Savior Jesus Christ with this little fellowship. And so to finish my prayer off, I'm going to play Psalms 24.
Psalm 24, a Psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Selah.
Good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
And John, I almost forgot your John. I have a friend in here that critiques me in a little bit, and I, you know, as you do get older, you do some changing, but you know, it seems like in my life, it's as the older I get, I God has given me some wisdom to look back and not look behind the plow and look forward, you know. And I just want to, you know, I'm just so thankful that God has given us this little morning fellowship to be in God's word, because it does make a change. It's really made a change in my life this last couple of weeks, you know. So today we're gonna start with John 17, and I've got the first 14 verses keyed up. 1-4. This is John 17. John 17, 1-4.
Chapter 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world.
That's what I was thinking. There's it's you know, we've seen the build up, you know, and then
morning, Walt. Morning, Gary.
Morning. Morning.
Yeah, who else is on? Chris, is he there?
No, not Chris.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
John. Not, John's here.
Yeah, hi, John.
Hi there, Kevin and Gary.
Hi, John. Mm-hmm. You too.
Yeah.
So this I see this as Jesus defining who in the world he has, he's come to save, or he's come to to speak to.
Mm-hmm.
If he has spoken to the entire world, but he defines who he has called out from all of those that he has spoken to.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a particular.
Go ahead. And he doesn't pray for the rest of mankind, only the ones that the Father gave.
For all the world, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I call this the Lord's Prayer. What the world calls the Lord's Prayer, I don't call the Lord's Prayer. So the disciples ask him, show us how to pray. That's not the Lord's Prayer. This is his pastoral.
Yeah, because Christ wouldn't ask for forgiveness for his trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. No. So it's the disciples' prayer. Prayer. Yeah.
Yeah, give us an example of how we should pray. And he did.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever speaks of this, John 17. None of the liberal pastors, Rome doesn't speak of this. Because he defines who he's talking to.
Sure.
It's in very plain language, and you can't You can't deny it or gloss over it.
That's right.
And chapter six, is that Chris?
No.
And chapter six is heavily intertwined with chapter 17, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yeah, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's always those the Father gave him. Yeah.
Yeah, no one comes, no one believes. Only those who are drawn, only those who are given by the Father.
It might even be useful. I mean, there's so much meat over here. It might even be useful to read one verse at a time and just give a little summary of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
These things have I spoken unto you, that ye shall not be offended. Excuse me. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee.
Yeah, they're united in heaven. Yeah, sorry, go ahead. Okay.
In verse 5, it says, the glory which I had with thee before the world was, and that speaks of his godhood, you know, that he was with the Father in the beginning.
It always gets back to in Christ. Everything has to be defined before what? Before time was? Before the world was? This is who he's praying for. This is who will given to him. These are the ones who will gain heaven. It's always before the world was. Everything is in Christ.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, even the verse that says the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Again,
right.
God's love is for those who he placed in Christ. Those are the ones that God loves.
Or the God's in Christ reconciling the world to himself. It's in Christ.
Yeah, that's
this
right.
This isn't talked of. This isn't spoken of in the liberal church.
No.
Because it removes time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it removes us out of a temporal plane, and that God reacts to a moment that you've initiated in time.
Mm-hmm.
It's utter nonsense.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And going back to verse 5, you know, the glory which I had with thee before the world was, you know, that's the sense of time or temporal, but, you know, Jesus always has glory with God, you know, in the heavenly realm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he set all that aside to come down here and be made in the likeness of sinful flesh. He set it all aside.
Yeah, that's right.
To be our kinsman redeemer.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the only separation that's necessary in fellowship between Christ and God, you know, in a temporal sense. I don't know if it's beyond that, but the only separation was, you know, when Jesus was crucified, when Jesus died and lay in the grave, you know, for those 3 days and three nights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they're always united otherwise.
Well, he was in a temporal sense, he was a fetus. He was created in a womb. He came through the woman's birth canal. I mean, these are temporal things as Jesus the man. This is mm-hmm. where he set aside his glory in heaven and became a man made under the law.
Yeah.
He opened the matrix of the one. He was the firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't take away anything that he, any of his deity. It doesn't take away any of his deity.
Right. That's why as a man he could say that neither the Son of Man but only the Father knew the time of the end.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, yeah. He set his glory aside. Yeah. Yeah, one verse Jesus says, as a man, he says, my Father's greater than I. And then in another verse, he says, I and my Father are one. Speaking of
his
deity.
Why do you call me good? There are none good but the Father.
Yeah, right.
In that flesh, that earthly flesh, there's nothing good.
Yeah.
But of course, he never sins. I mean, there was something good. There was something good about him.
Mm-hmm.
He never sinned.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it was called sinful flesh because it could see corruption, unless the Father would not let him see corruption. Yeah.
It could die. He could die.
It's almost like every verse is talking about election, and it came, you know.
Mhm.
I see a recap of the 16 verses, you know, all the way through. There's the flow of the prayer is just recapping everything that he, you know,
mm-hmm.
and everything his ministry and what he was, what was ahead of him.
Yeah, that's why the liberal church doesn't like this chapter 17, because it shows partiality, and they say there's no respecter of persons with God. Well, that word respecter, you know, in Romans, it's differentiating between the Jew and the Gentile. That's when Paul says God's no respecter of persons. He's talking about how God is not having favor over the nation of Israel, over the Gentiles, because they're all sinners, and they're all deserving of the same punishment. But truly, as far as election goes, God is very much a respecter of persons because he chooses one over another, and that's his choice. We can't say anything against that.
Yeah, but he doesn't choose because of their person.
That's
he
right.
He chooses according to his good pleasure.
Yeah.
This could be kind of confusing to the this first 16 verses could be kind of confusing to the unregenerate, because it sounds like he's just speaking about the 12, and he's
mm-hmm.
only praying
mm-hmm.
about them,
right?
And he, I don't know,
But boy, doesn't he clarify it though later on in the same chapter when he says that I pray not only for these but all those who shall believe on
all
me
those,
through their
all
word.
And that
includes. Amen.
Yeah,
I love that word shall. They shall.
Yeah.
All the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's a certainty. They're going to. Yeah.
I'm going to key up 15 through 26, then we can recap it.
I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Isn't verse 17 beautiful? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. See, the Lord separates us from the false teachers and from the false shepherds that are out there. And he teaches us his word and its truth. And I thank God for that, because we're not confused. And we don't have to wonder where we have to go to hear the truth. Like, be still on your bed and know that I am God. We can just rest in peace and ask for wisdom when we need it. It comes directly by the Holy Spirit, the teacher of truth. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think that we're ignorant of the fact that we're in the world of the evil one. He's the Lord of the air, Beelzebub.
Yeah, right.
And Jesus wasn't ignorant of the fact that that he was at present. He was in the world of the evil one. And he's here to call people out. He's to illuminate them to the fact that we're in this bottomless pit that loves the darkness and hates the light.
Amen. That's right. That's right. So Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you into the world. So Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, meaning the sheep, because the goats are never lost. They're always
in
their natural...
in their natural environment.
Yeah. So we go into the world and we're looking for the sheep. We're looking for those that are lost.
They're extremely hard to find.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Noah preached supposedly 120 years. I don't know definitely about that. But he preached, and no one else joined him in the ark. They were all in unbelief, and they all perished. And Jesus said it would be that way. It would be that way at the time of the end, and in the days of Lot. You know, and we, especially here in Long Beach in California, the homosexuality is so rampant that we feel like Lot. We feel like Lot. And it vexes our righteous soul from day to day, observing their unlawful deeds.
Yeah. And it's unlawful for us to criticize it. To them, yeah. I mean, we're asked to leave. We'll call the police on you. If you use the wrong word.
That's right.
Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like in the rest of the world, but that's what it's like here in Long Beach.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
This will come into the church.
Uh-huh.
It's in a liberal church. It'll come in eventually. It's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what you spoke earlier on John 17, in other words, this couldn't be preached in a Roman Catholic church, because I can see here too why the King James Bible is not advocated. I mean, I've actually witnessed this, but in other words, Kevin, when you were raised a Catholic, in other words, you never heard this, right?
Oh, no way. No, we had a catechism. We had a book that taught us the traditions of the Catholic Church and all their ceremonies and how to observe them. And it was called the St. Joseph's Missal. And we carried that around, and we thought that was the Bible. We didn't know any better. It was just unbelievable.
There was no Bible in my house.
Most any church, be any church preach this out, Catholic or other ones.
No, that's right.
And what I thought was a catechism back when I was, let's say 7, 8 years old, I was really carrying just a little pamphlet around. The real catechism is a great big book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not just catechism. It's also the, I believe it's called Catholic Canon Law. They have two books, the Catechism and the Catholic Canon Law. But I mean, in the Mass, they use either 4 or 5 different books with selected scriptures, but there's some scriptures that will never be there. A good example would be 1 John 5:7. For there are 3 that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these 3 are one. You'll never find that in any Catholic church or Armenian church,
mm-hmm.
pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Well, the New King James, I think they left that out, saying that in the better manuscripts they didn't find that particular verse. Have you heard that?
Yeah, the manuscripts that nobody uses, the ones that they still have the originals of, because they never got worn and torn, because nobody ever reads them.
Mm-hmm.
The third. From the 3rd and 4th century, in comparison to the foundation for the King James, which is, 1st century apostolic age.
Okay.
The reason that there's just copies of the genuine manuscript is that it got worn and torn over and over again. That's the one people read. It's the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my feeling is if that verse was out. And let's say that it was not found anywhere. we wouldn't need that verse because the rest of Scripture supports the idea of a Trinity. And we see that, God is singular, as other verses tell us. And we also see that the Son of God is also God the Son, and the Holy Spirit is called God. So if that verse was out, we wouldn't need it. I mean, it further supports the idea if it's genuine, but I don't have a problem with it not being there if that's what they want to do.
Another verse that's classic that they leave out is, I am the Lord, Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not share, will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. That's never there, you know, absolutely.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, because Jesus is the Savior. John the Baptist said, behold, the Savior of the world. Well, that would be a lie if that passage in Isaiah was to be seen as only the God of the Old Testament, but not Jesus. So Jesus claimed to be the God of the Old Testament. That's what I saw when I read the New Testament, that Jesus is God. And like you said,
yes,
John, last week, that the name of God is Jesus Christ revealed in the New Testament. Personally, that's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, and I could later on share a good video that explains that very methodically, but maybe not in the air, but I can give it to Walt and Walt can forward it. Like a great video on the whole detail of that, the attributes of God. Like those weren't really names of God in the Old Testament. Those were attributes or descriptions of God, but in the New Testament, God actually revealed his name to his people, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It's quite amazing.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's actually two themes. There's actually two ongoing themes with the Armenian Church. First they try to wipe out the name of God by giving God, indefinite pronouns. So they wipe out the name of God. They also try to wipe out the God, they try to put the glory on man instead of God.
Yeah.
Sometimes we pick right at the Catholics, but I mean, it's the whole Armenian Church, non-sovereign grace. It's pretty much all the same across the board if you really analyze it.
Because I was raised in a Lutheran Missouri Synod, and I went to catechism for 2 years, and I remember the Apostle Creed. We didn't memorize any scripture, but we memorized parts of the catechism,
just the catechism. I mean, they have so many other prayer books and missal or mass books, but it's all very finely sifted so that they only have convenient verses, that lean towards man's greatness.
Yeah. Yeah, the Lutherans apostatized very quickly, and I believe it's said, and I've heard that Martin Luther came out of Rome, but not all of Rome came out of Martin Luther, because he had a bent toward religiosity, and he told the people not to name a denomination after his name, but they did anyway. But Gary and I met some Lutherans of the Missouri Synod, which would consider themselves to be Reformed compared to other Lutheran organizations. And yet we found them to be dead as doornails as far as knowing what the Spirit was teaching in the church through the Word of God. And they quit coming to their Bible study that they had established on the out in the street on a public mall. And they couldn't bear. We came faithfully to try to show them the truth, but they couldn't take it. They left.
You know, the only thing about Luther is that he believed in the co-substantiation of the Eucharist. He didn't. He wasn't
yeah,
a tramp.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I think
right.
that's about it, really. You know, unless
yeah.
you can think of some other things.
Well, yeah, because
justification.
Yeah.
He had justification, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, the Missouri Synod was known as the conservative, and there's one called the American Synod, and they're considered the liberal
mm-hmm.
part. But
because
they have women pastors in the American, you know, and
mm-hmm.
of course
mm-hmm.
you know when I sit here listening to this conversation on John 17, you know, I will be up. Be you know just try to be honest with you. And there's how many times can you get a group of 4, 5, 6 people sit around and just talk right on the Bible? I mean, you know, stay right on the
mm-hmm,
Bible
mm-hmm.
without any distractions. You know,
that's true.
I mean, it's
yeah.
I've learned it's you know, because like when you read the Old Testament, the New Testament, it's the same God.
Amen. Yeah.
That opens up. That opens up the Old Testament. If I mean, you know.
Yeah, it says we beheld the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what's also amazing is from that same video maker that I'm going to send to Walt about the name of God
mm.
is that he explains the 66 books of the Bible. You know, a lot of people think that the Bible has more than 66 books, 66, which are in the King James. But
mm-hmm.
he goes through, you know, step by step how the Bible names, you know, all those groups where the 66 books are. So basically...
Mm-hmm.
Cross-reference in the scripture, the Bible cross-references itself to all the 66 books of the Bible and not one more and not one less. And that's truly amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture
yeah.
interpreting.
Yes, yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah.
And when you look just at the King James Bible, you know, the attack on it, I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
And it's still the only
mm-hmm.
one that's not copyrighted, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great mystery to us. It's a great mystery to us to understand how we can be one with God as Jesus is one with the Father. How we can be that way. It just eludes me to think of how that can be. You know,
and finish, Karen.
And the glory which I have with thee, Father, I have given to them. We already have it positionally, and practically we're waiting to see it. You know, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say that King James Bible 1611 still reads the same today. So, you know, if that's not a sign, the Word of God unchanging, never changing, the Word of God, it still reads the same today as it did in 1611.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Yeah,
that is pretty hard to fathom that Jesus shares his glory with us. You know, I was listening to a preacher the other day, and I it was a little pretty too much for me. You know, I couldn't really, but then I clarified he was actually right, that the question is that the Father loves the elect equally as he loves his own dear son, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what 17, basically, well, when Jesus says he's going to share his glory with us. But mm-hmm. it was just hard for me at first to to handle the fact that the Father loves the elect equally with his own son.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah.
But so that shows just how much of his glory he shares with us, for the Father to love us equally in the same way and the same capacities he loves Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes.
Pretty heavy.
Really. Yeah, it is. And he always loved the elect, always, in the past and into the future. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Yeah. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like an ever-present, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we can see that last verse, I think, well, close to the last of Psalm 23. Surely in mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Even before we were converted, goodness and mercy was following us all the days of our life. And we look back before we were converted, and we can see so many times when there was a supernatural hand that intervened in our life to keep us to the day when we were converted. You know, and like in the Old Testament, when Athaliah, that wicked queen, killed the how many 70 sons, 70. But one of them escaped. 70, yeah, Crowdful. And one of them escaped. One of them escaped, and it turned out who was the one that escaped? Chris, do you remember the name?
Yeah, I don't remember his name offhand. I just heard that the other day.
Right. Yeah, I think he was one of the good kings.
Well, he became king, and they went ahead and told her.
Right. But, God just...
He's the one that yells treason. Yeah.
Right, that's right, yeah. But God preserves his own, even till the day of their awakening. He's preserving us. It's just wonderful to see it. Yeah.
That was in Second Kings.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah.
I think you said it, didn't you? Athaliah?
Yeah, Athaliah, yeah.
Yeah, that was her.
Yeah, right. Yeah, when you think of all the translations. Go ahead, John.
I was just going to quickly say that you can almost consider chapter 6 and 7 one complete thought, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you think of all the translations. All the translations that are out there. And Jesus said, my words will never fail. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never fail. And his word is here for his people, because they have to be sanctified to the truth. And the truth is only found in the King James. So God protects it.
And even before that,
even
before that, it's protected through the 5,000 or so manuscripts from the old languages.
Yeah. But, when you go to a Christian bookstore here in California, there are so many Bibles and so many translations. You have to special order a King James if you want it.
Over here, it's even hard to find a Christian bookstore, never mind.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Usually when it says Christian bookstore, it's referring to Catholic.
I see. Yeah. Yeah, we have
I remember
a Christian.
One,
we, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I remember one time I was at the States. You know, I bought a Bible at Walmart, but over here you can't really find the Bible at Walmart or any type of book that resembles the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Even, even places like, I believe it was called the Amen Corner. Even places like that, you know, you're looking, let's say, in the U.S. South for a King James Bible. The King James Bible is more an afterthought, but, you know, it's they try to promote the NIV and those other modern versions, and they kind of put the King James in the back burner. There's only a few copies, and you have to look hard for them.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and the New King James is deceptive. They push that because they say, well, it's new. Anything new is supposed to be better. But we know better.
Some people,
the older it is. Yeah.
Well, the Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we find the older, the better.
Eschatological books.
Mm-hmm.
You notice a lot of those in there.
The
prophecies,
new King
books.
The New King James Bible. Yeah, the New King James Bible. Some people feel that it should be called the Thomas Nelson Bible, but they use the King James name, which is quite deceptive. It's a marketing tool, I know. It's quite deceptive because it claims to have a basis on the Textus Receptus, but it's mostly the corrupt manuscripts of Alexandria of Egypt. So we're not getting any further ahead of King James.
I see. Yeah.
Well,
Who were the two scholars recently that redefined the Greek?
Was it Westcott and Hort?
That's what Westcott and Hort.
Hort.
Yeah, they had. They had
the
revision.
New King James.
Westcott and Hort were part of the. English side. There was English and U.S. side, the two different committees. They wanted to revise the King James Version because of the archaic words, and they wanted to update the spelling, but they completely corrupted everything, the result. But
they corrupted the Greek and the Hebrew.
That's
and
right,
they
because they
the
had...
Meaning.
They had... working for 20 years. They had been working for 20 years before 1881, 20 years before... They had been working on a Greek manuscript, Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, which are the corrupt Alexandrian manuscript that showed up only in the 3rd and 4th centuries, whereas the Textus, the Apostolic Age from the 1st century. But even things like the Concordance, you know, the Bible Concordance, it started being corrupted after the mid-1750s. So if you're lucky enough to own the paper copy of a concordance from 1750 and before, probably going to read a lot different from after 1750s, you know, because they started meddling with it. And sometimes, you know, how people say you have to go back to the Greek, but which Greek? You know, the real Greek from the past or the corrupt one from Westcott and Hort?
I see what you mean.
Well, that's just it. You don't need any more Hebrew to clarify King James. It's all clarified and perfect.
Yeah, scripture scripture interprets scripture. And then when they say go back to the Greek and you go back to Westcott and Hort's fake Greek, I mean, are you better off or are you worse off, you know, instead of the Greek from the past, the real Greek? So to avoid that pitfall, you just have to let the King James interpret itself.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I have an interlinear Bible by a Green, and that one's pretty accurate. It hasn't. They haven't been corrupted by Westcott and Hort.
Westcott and Hort give us the Schofield.
Yeah, I think so.
That's just James, with in the margins change, so that the a lot of the commentaries larger than the text. Certain years.
Now, Schofield was a premillennialist. He was a dispensationalist.
Well, he was a scoundrel in his mentor. He was a Luciferian.
Schofield was basically a face that helped sell Bibles, you know, and helped promote the notes. But I mean, other than his face and his name, he probably had very little to do with his own notes. And I think Schofield is pretty much from the line of two predecessors. I can't remember their names right now, but one might start with a W.
Was he influenced by John Nelson Darby?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It's not W, it's a D, a Darby guy.
Yeah, right.
Even before that, I think there was one before Darby. In that line of thought, you know, it's basically, the whole premise of those notes is just to discredit the King James Bible. You know, the reason it gets so attacked is that it's actually God's word, and people, the Armenian world can't stand God's word, and they will attack it at any price.
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
Example is the Revision Committee of 1881. They tried to revise, or for the first time, they tried to change or revise the King James Bible, but they changed. They did so many atrocities to the Word of God that you know, it's pretty much worthless paper. The revised version, or the English revised version, as they sometimes called it, they were not successful. Will never be successful at changing the Word of God in the King James Bible.
Praise the Lord.
You know, that Bible set up the premillennial dispensational futurism, which is in this whole Zionist Christianity of today.
Yeah, because we can see that if they change one verse, another verse somewhere else will correct that error that they put in there or omit. Our doctrine is not built on just one verse or even two. I mean, you know, it's the whole flow of the text of the whole scripture that teaches us what the meaning of one verse is. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, the wind cannot blow down as strong a house with a strong foundation.
I witnessed the same thing you did, Kevin, 20 years ago in Pasco, Washington. This was in Salem, excuse me. This is in Salem, Oregon. I went into, and I'm just curious about the King James Bible, if they had a King James, and they didn't have one. They had all the other Bibles. They had many, many, you know.
We grow.
There's so much deception, and you know. And when I started realizing, when God put realized that there was one book that all these that were corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went to a Bible study one time, and he passed out a study, and he had five different Bibles verses for the same verse. And all I said at the time was, this is very confusing. He showed me to the door just for bringing up confusion. And of course, at the time, I mean, what we have on our hands is we have so much to be thankful for, and that God has given us the eyes and ears to hear that this is the Word of God, and you know, there's many, many places where they want to debate it, you know, it's not up for debate, you know.
No, that's right. Yeah, I used to, when I traveled, I used to go to church on Sunday wherever I was, just to see what was up. And one Sunday school class I went to for adults, they were sitting around just talking about scripture, and they were looking for a general consensus of opinion of what they could all agree on as the meaning of a verse. And of course, I didn't agree with their understanding of what they came up with. But because I was not in consensus with them right away, I was an outcast. I would never be accepted in their circle, you know. And so people who look, and there's a scripture that says, you know, not to join with the opinion of others, or be careful you don't measure yourself by others, you know, because
and,
by doing that, yeah, go ahead.
Don't get carried away in their dissimulation.
Yeah. It's easy to do.
And just as dangerous too, you know, other, you know, in, instead of a general consensus, you know, especially fake consensus, as dangerous as following the teachings of just, let's say, one pastor, and there's no discernment there, and you're just go there to listen and speak to the same pastor, and that pastor keeps preaching false doctrine. You know, that's just as dangerous as saying, you know, what do you think? What do you think? You know, let's vote on this. What matters, really? I mean, what truly matters is what the Bible says, not what we want.
Yeah, I know. That's right.
Any pastor that condone 5 or 10 different versions of the Bible is confused.
Another thing I heard, the thing I heard is that people who read the King James Bible are quite stable of mind. As people that read different Bible versions, they have a very confused mind, you know, related to what...
I can see that. Yeah.
It's confusion. It's just endless confusion, amazing confusion.
Yeah, that's right.
And another thing that Bible publishers are doing to the King James, the big Bible publishers, you know, probably for a couple of decades have started messing with some words, even in the King James. Like, instead of using betwixt the way that it was supposed to be, they're starting to use the word between. They're starting to use between. And, of course, you know, that the poetic force of some of the verses, they shouldn't even be messing with that. There are still a couple of smaller Bible publishers. I can't remember their names right now, but I have the reference. There are still a couple Bible publishers that print just the scripture, nothing else, no notes, just the Bible the way it's meant to read, with all the correct words. And you know, that's a comfort. Even though they don't have the words of Jesus in red, they're it's pure. Like, instead of changing things like from betwixt to between, they shouldn't be messing with that. You know, the big Bible publishers, but they do take the poetic force out of the verses by doing that, unfortunately.
Yes, yes. There's another verse that I think Gary and I found it. Paul is writing and he says, we are, or maybe it's in Peter, I'm not sure. He says, we are not of those that corrupt the word of God. And we saw in another translation, the same verse, it says, we are not of those that peddle the word of God. Peddle? What comes to mind when you hear that word?
A seller, a peddler.
A seller of the word. Yeah, but that's a different meaning than to corrupt the word of God.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, corrupt is to make it poison, you know, to poison it. And so they find ways of using words that they think are less offensive.
I'd rather be offended. Psalm 165 talks about being offended, that we're not offended. Let me find that.
Another curious thing that happens is that now they have easy read KJVs, ERKJV, easy read, and they take all the D's and the thou's out. They just put U for everything. I mean, talk about causing confusion and in the discernment of God's word.
Yeah. And then they have neuter gender.
Actually, verse 165, I remembered it says, okay. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend thee.
And these Bible versions and atrocities are just going to keep mounting, you know, on top of each other, you know, more confusion upon confusion until with the hope of people forgetting God's name and his power.
Yeah, well, they're taking away the masculinity of God, that he's not a he or a she. Talking about the Holy Spirit being a power but not a person. So it just gets worse and worse and worse.
And they also teach a common theme amongst these Armenians, at least some Armenian churches, a common theme is that they don't recognize Satan as an evil angel. Like they consider, you know, the concept of Satan as an, you know, a general spirit of evil. Like it's not quite an entity, you know, almost like a bodily entity, like an evil angel.
Yes.
It's almost just like a spirit. Somebody once said, you know, the devil's greatest trick is pretending that he doesn't exist. How could you find something that you don't believe is real? You know, how could you fight something if you don't believe it's real? You know, you can't really fight it.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
You know, Satan has a body. He's an evil angel, you know.
People don't
believe that he's there's actually an evil angel. They just believe that there's a spirit of good and spirit of evil, and they leave it at that, you know, just too general a spirit.
Sure.
And you can't fight Satan unless you think Satan is an actual real entity.
That's real good. Your adversary, the devil, roams up and down on the earth like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, he may not devour the children of God, but he can greatly affect our ministry and in our state of being with our Father for fellowship. And we have to be on our guard for that.
That was quite a word you said. May devour has to do. May normally has to do with, traditionally at least, it has to do with permission. So he'll devour only those that God wants him to devour, but he can't go beyond that.
That's right. That's beautiful. That's like Job when he talks about the sea crashing against the shore, and he speaks to the waves and says, "This is as far as you go, no further." I just love that. I love that.
Bounds of the sea, right?
Yeah. So when he sends a tsunami, then that's the Lord's doing. The Lord causes it.
Yeah, the Lord works all things to love his own will.
Yeah.
Ephesians 1:11.
Right.
I had a feeling we wouldn't be doing chapter 18 today because chapter 17 has so much substance, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think what's I'd like to read Proverbs 13, 1-3, because a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgression shall eat violence. But the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. You know.
Yeah.
Especially
well,
to,
yeah.
Today, it's so easy to be it's so easy to be distracted with all the media attention we have, you know. Well, go ahead, Kevin.
Go ahead.
Excuse me.
There's a verse that says, "Let your words be few, O man, for thou art in the earth and God is in heaven." Let your words be few. You know, be careful what you speak, because every idle word a man speaks, he answers to God for. So it's it keeps us quiet. Keeps us quiet
and humble. If you can't, when you understand who Christ is. And it's been a blessing for me this last couple of weeks, you know, because we started the broadcast, you know, by reading Genesis chapter 1 and John chapter 1, and we, you know, defined who we're serving, and then when you get to chapter 17 here, we know who we serve.
Yeah, I remember. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's. We're 5 minutes over the hour, and I'm going to close it for today. But listen, I really was blessed this morning, and I want to thank everybody for the fellowship this morning. It was a real blessing.
Yes. Yeah, it's a wonderful time. Thank you, brother, for putting this program together. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see you tomorrow morning at the same time.
Yes. All right. God bless
Take
you,
care.
Brothers. Have a blessed day.
Bye-bye. Okay. Bye.